This webcast is made possible in part by support from the listener members of the Classical Network, WWFM and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to Inside Music. I'm your host, George Mariner Mole, Artistic Director of the Discovery Orchestra, where we believe the more musical detail we notice, the more pleasure we receive from listening. Inside Music is made possible by Glenn Mead, an independent trust company providing investment and wealth management services, with offices in Princeton, Morristown, and Philadelphia. This episode is entitled Carnival of Sound. And which carnival might that be? Perhaps this will jog your memory. That was the wild, over-the-top ending of The Roman Carnival Overture by Hector Berlioz, played by the New York Philharmonic under Leonard Bernstein. The particular carnival Berlioz had in mind was Mardi Gras, that huge party celebrated round the world the night before Lent begins. Berlioz had written an opera entitled Benvenuto Cellini about the famous Italian Renaissance man. The opera premiered in 1838, and sadly, it was not well received. But, like many composers, Berlioz realized that he had written some really wonderful material, so why not repurpose some of it in a different format, for instance, an overture? From our perspective at the Discovery Orchestra, the most important thing we can do is to notice some of the musical details along the way. So let's dig right in. In the manic opening, he gives us his first melodic pattern that sounds like this. If that went by too quickly, here it is again. Then, after a very short rest or silence, the violins, violas, and cellos, one at a time, begin playing trills until this chord has been built. Trills are very rapid alternations between two adjacent pitches. If you're somewhere safely seated, that would not be in your car, I'd like you to raise your hand when you notice the trills in the strings have begun. Right after that, the brass and woodwinds will take over in a riot of sound. Have you ever attended a Mardi Gras or a carnival celebration, or perhaps a street festival held in honor of some patron saint? A wonderful event is held every September in Little Italy in New York City, the San Gennaro Festival. If you have been to one of these anywhere in the world, I don't have to tell you that there is so much going on. It's absolutely chaotic. The sights, sounds, and tempting food aromas are overwhelming. This atmosphere is, I think, what Berlioz is attempting to transmit with his first melodic pattern and brass woodwind fanfares. Listen again, and this time, focus on the short but very dramatic silence or rest that precedes the trills in the strings. Berlioz now introduces what can only be a street singer crooning his second melodic pattern of the overture. Berlioz gives the honor of singing this melody to the English horn, that larger cousin of the oboe. At the same time, he skillfully imitates the sound of a guitar, which a street singer in 1834 might well use for accompaniment. How does Berlioz accomplish this? Have a listen. So what serves as the faux guitar? The strings, playing pizzicato, using their fingers to pluck the strings instead of playing with their bows. And we hope you noticed when the members of the viola section suddenly began using their bows at the very end of this excerpt. What a difference in timbre that makes. Listen once more. A bit later in the score, Berlioz does something very interesting with this second melodic pattern. Two separate groups of instruments will play it in, well, you listen and see if you can tell what they're doing. Let me play what the cellos, violas, and bassoons are playing together as a group. And here's what the 30 violins, the English horn, the oboe, and the flute are playing together as a group. Sound familiar? I hope so. It's the same music, but here's precisely how both groups are playing it. What's happening? Yes, they are playing the same thing one beat apart. The first group starts and the second group begins exactly one beat later. This musical device is called a canon, and it works sort of like a round, like row, row, row your boat. The important thing is not what we call it, but that it's very enjoyable to notice this as it's happening in music. Listen to this passage again. Also, notice that the accompanying instruments, which include the tambourine and triangle, are playing this rhythm. This provides a wonderful contrast to the smooth legato quality of the canon. Berlioz has a beautiful way of concluding this initial section of his overture. He builds a long crescendo, getting louder gradually, and then rapidly fades. And finally, the woodwinds play what I can only describe as waves of sound that rise and fall. We'll start the music at the beginning of the long crescendo. If you would, count the number of woodwind waves that serve as a transition to the next large section of the overture. Thank you. So how many of those woodwind waves did you count? Here they are in isolation. And this time, also enjoy the delicious four taps on the tambourine at the very end. How does three sound? I knew you could do it. In the next large section of the overture, Berlioz picks up the tempo, where we were previously in a moderate triple meter, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. We're now going faster, with two beats in each measure, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. And each of those beats is subdivided into three parts, da-da-da-da-da-da, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. So, in effect, there are six fast pulsations in each two-beat measure of music. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And in that context, Berlioz gives us his third and final melodic pattern. For me, the new rhythmic pattern is reminiscent of a galloping horse, if that helps you remember it. I'll say the common rhythmic core of this third pattern a couple times. Now you say it with me. The strings and woodwinds are now going to volley this third galloping pattern and bits and pieces of it back and forth to each other in rapid fire. It's quite fun to follow. But your next assignment is this. At a certain point, the brass are going to show up and herald the reappearance of the first melodic pattern, played now by the woodwinds and the first violins. Do you remember how the first melodic pattern goes? The first pattern will reappear. Your mission? Count the number of times it occurs. And the answer is four times. And perhaps you noticed that while the first and second entrances began on the same pitch, the third and fourth entrances began on successively higher pitches in what we call an ascending sequence, which adds excitement. In case you're just joining us, you're listening to Inside Music. I'm your host, George Mariner Moll, Artistic Director of the Discovery Orchestra. And we're looking inside the Roman Carnival Overture by Hector Berlioz. Now that you're familiar with the three melodic patterns in this overture, pattern number one, pattern number two, pattern number three, it's time for a quiz. Which two patterns are referenced here? What did you find? Initially, the violins are softly playing the galloping rhythm of the third pattern. But soon, We find the bassoons are playing the second pattern, the street singer, and they are quickly joined by other instruments playing this pattern. One group of instruments will play the second pattern, but before they can finish the idea, another group interrupts the first group in a different key. This goes on with one group after another, interrupting. Now, if we allow the music to continue, another pattern will reappear. Any guesses? You have a 33% chance of being correct. Have a listen. Pattern 1, of course. There are more combinations of the three patterns to be found, but I'd like to draw your attention to a humorous moment. We arrive at a place in the music where it sounds as though the woodwinds start an argument with the strings, kind of like the squabble two little brothers might get into at a carnival. Here it is. It's mine! No, it's mine! I won that prize! You know how those arguments go. So, of course, Dad has to break it up by wagging his finger at them and telling them in no uncertain terms to cut it out. For me, Berlioz achieves this by having the entire orchestra play loudly in rhythmic unison. That is, although they are playing different pitches, they are playing them at exactly the same moment in time. Let's have the argument again, followed by Dad delivering his stern reprimand in rhythmic unison. And enjoy the tambourine part. What follows can only be described as a mad dash to the finish line. Various sections of the orchestra appear to strive for dominance, but the brass finally produce an impenetrable wall of sound. And as the rest of the orchestra drops out, the brass win! Let's listen to the entire performance by Leonard Bernstein and the New York Philharmonic of this powerhouse of an overture. Be aware of the three melodic patterns. Enjoy details, such as the second pattern being played like a round. Notice the many sudden dynamic changes from very loud to very soft and vice versa, and those sweeping crescendos. If you listen really carefully, you may even notice one flubbed note in the French horns. Maestro Bernstein and the sound engineer obviously decided to leave it in. Enjoy the humor and, above all, get the goosebumps experience from this carnival of sound. Thank you. This has been Inside Music. I'm your host, George Mariner Moll, Artistic Director of the Discovery Orchestra. The producer was David Ozenberg. Inside Music is made possible by Glenn Mead, an independent trust company providing investment and wealth management services with offices in Princeton, Morristown, and Philadelphia. The Discovery Orchestra's productions for American Public Television, enjoyed by millions of viewers nationwide, follow a format similar to this radio program. These educational shows are available for streaming at Amazon.com and are free to Amazon Prime members. Inside Music episodes can also be heard as webcasts at WWFM.org. Go to Programs and select Inside Music. Inside Music is an exclusive production of the award-winning Classical Network and WWFM.org. Tune in on Saturday, September 22nd at 7:30 for our next episode, The Point. Thanks so much for being with us. This is George Mariner Moll reminding you to listen better.